Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The fact of the matter is, this version of the Bills should go to the Super Bowl. And there is an odd added pressure right now in Buffalo. If the tournament starts, and Lamar's not in it, Joe's not in it, and Patrick's not in it, there is a pressure unlike any other year in the past, and likely unlike any year in the future. Crazy Rhino Josh Allen is the scariest version.
Nick Wright talking about that the Bills should be the team in the Super Bowl this year, and that there might be more pressure, and I don't disagree with that. If Mahomes, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson are all out of the way, he sees pressure. I see opportunity.
You know what I see? The one seed.
How?
I've been crunching numbers. I'm writing a column about it. It'll be out tomorrow.
All right.
Well, WGR550.com. Some playoff scenarios and where the Bills could end up. Nothing is out of play, Derek. Nothing is out of play.
That is true, because the division's not dead. New England at 11-2. You win this game, New England's at 11-3. You're at 10-4. If Denver were to lose in the same weekend,
it changes everything. But also, even if that happens, the Ravens game means nothing. The games that mean the most are the divisional games. So if you're able to beat the Patriots and then one of the other two are able, in like Miami, that would flip the script entirely.
Denver does play the Green Bay Packers. That's not a gimme.
In Denver, though.
That's still not a gimme.
Yeah. But you know the craziest thing about these scenarios? I'll give you a little nugget here. The Bengals can make it as the 4 seed at 7-10.
There's
so it's actually wide open in a lot of ways here. So
if the Bengals win the division at 7-10.
Is that the worst division win of all time?
Yes.
That has to be.
But it also epitomizes what this season has been across the National Football League. And it's also where, like what I said about Nick Wright, he sees pressure, I see opportunity. I don't necessarily think that there's pressure in a different way because of the fact that this season has been so insane, so wild, and
schizophrenic.
I was going to say potentially on something that if they lose, it's going to hurt a lot and it's probably going to upset people. And I think it's about reaction. It's not about pressure. I think that's the way to look at it. There's opportunity here, but that means that there's also opportunity for a lot of the clapback or the you didn't get it done. Okay, maybe there are some changes that need to be made somewhere. Not going all fumigating on this team or anything like NBC Sports Boston wanted to do. That was a flex, by the way. He just wanted to say the word fumigate. Now I did it too.
That's what
so that
happens.
Makes two people in media that have said fumigate now.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
All right,
as soon as they get an inch to walk on you, they step all over you. They curb stomp you.
Quick, I said fumigate. Give me my monocle and a cup of tea. I can feel fancy now. Fumigate, yes. What's wrong with me? But back to the point, New England's part of this field, though, where, yeah, if you win this game, even the one seed's not out of the question anymore, because if you were to take the division, you're probably getting the inside track on New England. Therefore, you would have an opportunity at the one seed, if not the two. Everyone's big Packer fans this time around. Big Packer fans. That's what we got to do. But this might be the field. 803-0550 is the number to call. This might be the field to take advantage. even with the flaws that the Bills have. A couple days ago, plenty of people had fun talking about the ceiling that this team has. Their ceiling plus this playoff field could be what gets it done. And can they survive their floor? Against this playoff field, can they survive their floor? New England and Houston have proven to you, no, you cannot. You cannot turn the ball over, get sacked multiple times, and get away with it. But when they are on their game, they are the best team in the AFC. And that's not that hard to say. And it's not very hard to agree with. It's just, can they survive the worst? Get connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Mike. Mike, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got?
Hey, guys. I'm not afraid of any of, of our opponents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of Joe Brady's play calling. I mean, going back to the Houston game, I mean, the play calling in the fourth quarter on third and two, and then you get a yard, and then you hand off to Cook 5 yards in the backfield on fourth and one, and he loses. Same thing at the end of the game. It's a third and one, and instead of just getting the first down with 29 seconds left in a first down, they try a pass. It's incomplete, and now it's fourth down, and they're in the shotgun. Fourth and one. I mean, Josh has been, his last seven quarterback sneaks, he's gained less than 3 yards zero times. You go to last week. I mean, the first drive of the game was just a perfect example of him trying to be too cute. They moved the ball down the field, running the ball, short passes, running the ball, and they got a third and two. And at third and two, they try the Josh Allen run that, you know, it's, and not the quarterback sneak. It's that little Josh Allen, I'll go to the side and try to go up the middle, and I lose
the
yards, and
yes,
they're stuck now. And it's four down territory at that point, too. And that's the scary part. It's four down territory. There's no way that they're stopping Josh two straight times on a quarterback sneak. Get your first downs. Get it into the end zone. Stop being so cute with the wide receiver screens and these cute plays. Stick with what's working. Cook's been running great. Josh has been throwing the ball great. You got third and two. It's two downs. Get the first down.
Mike, I appreciate the call, and there's a lot there. The five straight runs to James Cook, including the fifth one where it looks like Cook's trying to take himself out of the game. That was a really egregious one. That Houston game really was a bit of, I might even say that was a bit of a humbling for Joe Brady, because in the Pittsburgh game, he goes to what's working. He's not trying to do anything extra. He's not trying to overthink it. To a point where the Steelers even call out the fact that they succeeded by calling the same play so many times and they just could not stop it. Which really then points to the Steelers at themselves of, we just couldn't stop that. But also when they were passing the ball a little bit, they had added protection. Part of that might have been because of the fact they had two backup tackles in that game. But they also recognized that those were premier edge rushers. We need to have a little bit of an extra protection scheme. And that's something that we learned the hard way against Houston when Dawkins and Brown, fighting through injuries, could not get the job done. Brady did not add extra protection late in that game. To a point where Dawkins is expected to be on an island on said fourth and one and then jumps off sides. All of a sudden, it's fourth and six. Pass goes incomplete. Game over. I think that, Mike, you are right ultimately in the fact that I don't know how afraid I am of the rest of the AFC more than I am of the Buffalo Bills. The fear percentage, I think, is that you might accept that the Bills are probably their most dangerous opponent is themselves. And that's very believable based on the four losses that they have this season. Against New England, they turned the ball over three times. There's the Dawson Knox handoff on the first drive of the game. It looks like you're moving the football a little bit here. You get to about midfield and then oopsie daisy. And that's one that actually gets called out. I do believe Coach McDermott does say something about, you know, getting a little too cute sometimes. And you haven't seen that play ever after that. Not to a tight end, at least. And with Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel now not on this roster, I doubt you see it anymore this year. So there has been a little bit of correction, it looks like, going on from Joe Brady a little bit here. But the Bills are their biggest enemy, and I think Mike's got that point. New England, you turn it over three times, including that handoff to Knox or the Keon Coleman fumble. The Bills have an offensive pass interference on the play leading up to the Marcus Jones interception in the New England red zone. Against Atlanta, the defense hemorrhages yards and points to a point where the offense, having an off day, can't make up for the ground. Eventually, the defense flexes its muscles in the second half, but the hole they put themselves into in the first two quarters was too much to overcome. Miami, the offense sputters the entire time. And the problem is there's a common theme here. Miami, the offense sputters the entire game until the defense, which has been trying its best to hold on for dear life, the dam breaks in the fourth quarter. And then Houston is, that defense plays incredible. The offense can't really get into much of a rhythm. One ill-fated two-minute drive later that the defense lets up at the end of the first half, and it then ultimately becomes too much to overcome. There was also a missed, there was a missed PAT in that game as well that Buffalo has to go for the touchdown instead of being able to play for overtime in that moment as well. So you can't be doing that either. You can't have the missed extra points. If we're able to say that with Tyler Bass, I should be able to say that with Matt Prater, right? It's the same thing. But the common theme here is what Mike brings up. It's the offense. The offensive play calling. Sometimes Brady gets in his own way. Sometimes it is a little too cute. Sometimes it is frustrating to watch the offense that has Josh Allen, that has James Cook on this roster. And for better or for worse, sometimes it gets away from them. I will say, this is also a hell of a time, though, for you to start getting healthy for the first time in a while. Yes, I know, Ed Oliver, Michael Hoyt out for the season. I know. But the Bills are starting to get a little healthier. All four players that are on the injury report that missed Sunday's game against Cincinnati, they were limited in the walkthrough today, yesterday. We'll see what the reports look like today. Spencer Brown sounds optimistic that he's going to play. Sean McDermott didn't outright dismiss that Bosa could come back. This will be an opportunity. And I think that's the big thing about this. That's why I'm so excited about this game. I'm not dreading anything about New England. I'm very excited about this game. I think it's because of the fact that I've really embraced the fact that this season's a nice reminder that it's not supposed to be as easy as it's been for a majority of the last 5 years. It's not supposed to be that easy. We're all supposed to be reminded of that in a harsh manner. And even the year where they have that downswing in 2023, they still come back and win the division and the two seed. This year might not be that. You lose here, it will not be that. And that's actually a certainty. It's for sure. It's not something that you can get away from at that point. But as chaotic as this season has been, not just for the Bills, but for the entirety of the National Football League. Heck, entering last weekend, the Bears were the one seed in the NFC. The Chicago Bears. New England and Denver are still there winning 11 games. Indianapolis was on a different level, and now they've come crashing down to earth. There is so much, though. Like, the Texans start 0-3, and now they look like one of the most dangerous teams that a division winner could be facing if the playoffs were to begin today. You tell me that New England and Jacksonville don't get nervous about the potential of facing Houston and Buffalo, respectively, in the postseason? That's probably not a good feeling. The Chargers at 9-4. If you were to project it the way that it's going, New England versus Houston, Buffalo at Jacksonville, Chargers at Steelers. It's not out of the realm of possibility that you can go, yeah, I like all three road teams, actually. Houston could frustrate New England with their stifling defense. The Bills should be the better overall team than Jacksonville. They have a similar record, but the Bills have Josh Allen. Jacksonville does not. And the Steelers are 9-8 defined. I would like the Chargers in that game, even with Herbert banged up and them not really having much of an offensive line. That's how weird this year has been. That you can actually realistically look at it and go, I don't hate all three road teams at the first glance over the wild card weekend. We'll see what happens the rest of the way, but I really would suspect that. Carolina's in the mix for the NFC South this year. Realistically, they are right there step in step with Tampa Bay. Dallas isn't all the way dead yet because Philadelphia has fallen off of a map. Who do you trust this year? And I think there's only one answer, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. And even then, they're not the best record in football. They've lost three times. But in the AFC, the Bills are their biggest enemy. And yet, they are the team that you can look at and go, when each of these teams, any of them, 1-7, is at their best, it's the Bills that you trust the most. That's where you need to take advantage of this. And it goes back to that Nick Wright clip, pressure. I still see it more as optimism and opportunity. In a crazy year, why not the Bills? Basically, is how you'd want to be able to frame that. Why not the Bills finally breaking through? It would make sense. Their biggest bugaboo not being in the playoffs with Kansas City. And the fact that the Bills don't have, I would say, the greatest of quarterback roster that they've beaten. Lamar Jackson twice, who has proven to not be a playoff performer more times than not. Skylar Thompson, Mac Jones, Bo Nix, Phillip Rivers. That's the list. Right now, if the seeding were to be where it is, you could add Trevor Lawrence to that list. I'd say confidently. Or it could be, what? If they move up, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers? I do still find it funny, though, now, Joe, that the list is now all active quarterbacks again. Yeah. Phillip Rivers is active, and that is still... Talking more about the season and how crazy it's been. Phillip Rivers might start right away.
Might. I mean, it looks like he is going to with the injuries they have in the quarterback room. It turned into a nightmare really quick for them.
Riley Leonard did participate in full with his knee injury, so...
He did. So maybe they will go with him, but I don't think you bring in Phillip Rivers...
To not play.
To not, yeah.
Maybe not here this week... But he might close the season.
Well, they might. I mean, they're still very alive in the playoff push, right? So, like, maybe they do think he's the best chance to win, and they do put him in right away.
If he's their best chance to win.
I'd say he is. I mean, you would put him, veteran talent, over a rookie any day of the week, would you not?
A late-round rookie as well.
Yeah, right.
I believe Leonard was a sixth-round pick?
Yeah.
Or was he?
I'm not 100% positive.
I'm going to look that up real quick.
I would put veteran talent like Rivers, who understand, and
rumor, it's been 5 years.
Well, yeah, but rumor has it. I mean, he was running the Colts offense with the team he was coaching. So, yes.
That should not matter.
So, I don't know. I think he's
your
best option.
Sixth-round pick, Riley
Leonard,
by the way.
He's your best option, Rivers.
I don't.
Leonard, sixth-round pick versus a guy who's a Hall of Fame candidate. Right? Like,
but it's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years, sure, but the arm is your last thing to go in a lot of cases, minus two. Every other quarterback it's been, other than Breeze and other than Peyton Manning, like, you're looking for a playoff push.
They had
notable
injuries and surgeries, though. Those two,
well, sure.
Those two had no, like when you say the arm's the last thing to go outside of two guys that you could point out there.
Mm-hmm.
Breeze, it finally catches him, but it until how long?
Well, right. Yeah.
Manning, the neck surgery, that's an upper body. Until how long? Tom Brady's arm never had to have anything surgically operated.
No, and he was 45, so he was older than Phillip Rivers when he last played.
Yes.
And then Aaron Rodgers, his arm is still there, more than there.
But Tom Brady's
the longest pass.
Tom Brady's also a one of one, though. I don't know how much I'd be able to suspect that Phillip Rivers is going to be able to get a job done here after not playing for 5 years and being 44 and being a statue quarterback, which outside of Jared Goff, and it's dead. Even Stafford can make a move.
What's Daniel Jones been the past 2 weeks?
Daniel Jones is a more... Oh, I see what you're doing here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and what has happened?
Well,
they've been bad.
That's because they made him play on the fractured fibula, and he overcompensated and was stepping with the right side of his foot.
They should have already been calling Rivers by that point. Well, if he's playing on a fractured leg...
Yeah, the fibula only carries 10% of your weight, so you are technically... He was medically cleared to play on it, so...
Yeah,
it
but pain is a real thing.
Sure, I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying...
And it probably affected how he was planting at that point.
Right. But that's why he was overcompensating with the right foot and tore his Achilles. Like
that's exactly how it happened.
So, like, I think they were playing fine with the statue quarterback. And Rivers, I mean...
They lost the two games with him not moving, though.
I mean, sure, but also...
Daniel Jones's best attribute in his entire career has not been throwing the football. It's how he's able to run around.
Yeah, I think you're just out of options, and Phillip Rivers is the best one. I think that's where you're at that point.
Yeah, I just...
Cam Newton was hurt. Did you see that?
Yeah, his feelings were hurt about it, yes.
Yeah.
But...
That they didn't call him first before 44-year-old Rivers?
The guy knew the playbook. You didn't. That's the end of the story there, I guess.
No Zoom. He was thrilled about that, too. But
that just tells you more about the wacky season that is going on here, is... Yeah, the Colts have fallen out of a playoff spot. They've now tapped on the shoulder of Phillip Rivers, who's also now going to wear the number 17. If he starts right away,
I think he's going to. And they're putting him up against Seattle, so he's going to get murked. I will say, the last two games we were talking about, Daniel Jones being a statue, it was against the Texans defense, so that's an immediate, like, you're done for.
Right.
And then the Chiefs, Chris Jones was getting home. So, like, okay. But they still, against the Falcons, they won 31-25. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't.
That has more to do with Atlanta than Indianapolis.
Sure, but they also, I don't know. I think Rivers does fit kind of what they can do. Their O-line isn't terrible. It'd be worse if the Chargers called him back and were like, hey, Herbert's down. We need Phillip Rivers back. With the Joe Alt out and everything like that, that would be an issue.
That it would be worse if he was in LA. I do agree with that.
But like the Colts front line actually can hold up. So I think he'll be okay. I genuinely do. He might, if he can still throw, which I don't think they would have called him if they didn't think he could. And you're seeing practice videos and he's still throwing it just fine. Just what's his playing weight going to be? You know, like that's the big question. He's like, I don't even know right now. It's a lot more than it was when it walked off the field in Buffalo. It's not what it was, whatever he said.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think it's funnier than anything.
It's again, it leans into how wacky and just different this season is. And that's, it speaks to the AFC playoff field. I really do think that this is a great opportunity. Some may see it as pressure. I'm going to sit back and go, I like my odds. I might eat my words, but wouldn't be the first time now, would it?
Oh, I like the odds, too, for the Bills.
803-0550, the number to call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Take a timeout. Come on back here. As we keep things going, hanging around here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at Northtown. We got about another half hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, but don't forget, there's an opportunity to take your game day to the next level. Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Every Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Chopin Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Derek Kramer here with you. Joe Kelly's on the board hanging out. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning, on WGR. I look at this as the biggest opportunity that the Bills will have. It's the best opportunity you're going to look at on paper. However, this season has been far from on paper as possible, because entering the season, if I told you that a healthy Patrick Mahomes is going to outright miss the playoffs, I would have been ridiculed. Probably calls for me to be fired. But that is what's happened here. The Bills are not the leaders of the AFC East. The Chicago Bears at one point were the one seed late into the season. I'm pretty sure people would look at you like you had three faces if you said any of that to begin the year. And you're looking at a postseason where Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes might all miss it. And while two of them dealt with injuries this year, one of them has not. And then the Bills are sitting at the sixth seed, and everyone's going, what happened? Like, NFL fan that wakes up from coma is having, like, a hard time right now. Probably a great time, like, being reunited with people, but, like, looking at football standings, being like, what year is it? Mm-hmm. Like, Robin Williams and Jumanji.
Time is a flat circle.
And that
is what it felt like last week watching the first half of that Bengals game.
The first halves of some of these games for Buffalo have been pretty ugly. But
is that what we have to think of going forward? Are they just a second half team?
Well, statistically they are.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like,
it's not.
Is that just what we're going to expect? Are we going to expect them to take a lead in the first? Or?
I don't know if expect is the right word. One that sounds similar does. I think we have to accept that they are a second half team.
Sure.
Because statistically, it's what they are. It's who they have shown to be. Like, we've gone through 14 weeks now. This is who they are. This is what they are. They are the best second half team in football, which means that there are some ugly starts, including the last time that these two teams met in the Bills and the Patriots. It is not going to be pretty. I definitely do not hope for 6-3 again. That was dreadful. And Pittsburgh looked worse.
Somehow.
Uglier. Even though there was one more point scored.
Yeah. NBC Boston thinks he should come coach the Bills. Tomlin. So, be getting a lot more of that.
As they fumigate.
Mm-hmm. 9-8. Congratulations. You're going to be just over 500 again for the 21st straight season or something like that.
9-8 Super Bowl for the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. That's what they are. The standard is the standard, okay?
Well, the Bengals could make it at 7-10, so why not? 8-9. Steelers could make it, too. Under 500. Who knows?
The AFC North probably will have an under 500 team in this season, and that would not be surprising to me. But, yeah, again, I see opportunity. I see a team that knows how to adjust, and that is helpful. I see a team that has seen so many injuries on the defensive side of the football be able to hold on and make the timely play. Even if they're not having a great game, they will make a timely play to help flip things around. It happened with Baltimore all the way in week one, and we should have believed it then. They were going to make a couple of timely stops, get one of those turnovers, and be able to get it done. Yes, turnovers are not something you should be able to survive on, and that's not something you should count on surviving. Doesn't mean that it can't happen and that it hasn't been happening. Baltimore was one of those examples. That timely defensive stop, followed by another one. Because the job was not over when Derrick Henry fumbled the football. The job wasn't over for the defense. They had to make one more stop. Kansas City, they make a couple of timely stops so that it's not a total buzzsaw. Tampa Bay, same thing. The defense has become plucky, I think is the right word for this. Sometimes they're getting smacked around, but then they make enough stops that the Bills offense is able to complement it and get it done and figure it out eventually. In the losses, it's the offense that does not figure it out. They don't come around at the end of the day, and that's how they lose. The defense is doing enough to hold on, and when the offense doesn't get things settled, that's when they've lost games this year. And a caller from the last hour, from the last segment, he makes the point that Joe Brady is the part of the Bills that he fears the most. Maybe of the entire postseason field, the offensive coordinator is the person that he fears the most. And it makes enough sense. Brady's been under fire for a little bit from this season. Even though they do have the most explosive plays in the NFL. Or not explosive, but big plays. 20-plus yards. Numbers sometimes can lie. And sometimes you want to make sure that you're a little more consistent within your play calling. Joe, college football continues to have a banner year. From everything with Notre Dame, now they're going bowling. By the way, did you see that? Notre Dame has announced that their players are going to be going bowling.
Oh, so they're
going
to get a bowl in after all.
Yes.
It's crazy.
They're going to raise money for... I do like that they're donating money doing it for charities around South Bend. But also, they're asking for fans to donate that money. They're raising that money.
Mm-hmm.
For a school that supposedly has so much money, can't you just... You know what I think they should do? Match the donations.
Sure. Yeah, that probably wouldn't be a bad play.
That's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Match the donations up to a certain dollar amount if you want to stay, in a budget. But that's how you make it look best. Hire me for your PR, Notre Dame. I'll take care of it. I'll fix the image.
There's just a lot of fixing to do right
now. As a hater.
Yeah.
I'll fix it because I know everything wrong.
Not as big of a PR nightmare that's going on, though, with Big Blue.
Michigan. Sherrone Moore, what?
I don't want to go too hard into him because I'm going to be honest with you. I know what he did was terrible. I'm not gonna argue anything against that. It was wrong.
On every aspect of
everything, it's wrong. But it takes a lot, I feel like, to drive somebody to that point. Do you know what I'm saying?
Pretty much for me, it's Sherrone Moore, what are you doing? Total goofball status. I don't want to get into it. About that, because for me, it's a lot of cut and dry on that one. You're married with kids and you decide you got to throw that away too. Like, come on, man. What are you doing?
Well, that is a different thing. I'm talking about I'm the whole thing in itself, right? The crazy stuff that ensued after the fact. Like, I don't know. It is shameful. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not justifying it either. That's not acceptable behavior. But, like, I think we're going to find out a lot going on maybe behind the scenes and whatever, like just with the crazy stuff that ensued after the fact. I don't know. I don't want to make a snap judgment when I'm not 100% privy to all of the information because we only have the alleged reports of what happened. We don't have anything that actually, you know what I'm saying?
Well, figuring out that the university conducted its investigation, has its credible evidence, and then made this announcement public.
Oh, right.
I think that's enough to work on with what I'm going to say here, which is, what are you doing? Inappropriate relation with a staffer when you're married? That's already bad enough, dog. And now that puts Michigan in a precarious position, though. In a college head coaching carousel that has already been insane, it took Penn State, 3 months to find their next head coach after calling and getting rejected by 17 applicants? Or not applicants, potential hirees that... They were like, nah, we won't take that job. They eventually land on Iowa State's Matt Campbell. But Napier's gone already. A lot of the hot names that you could have went with, they're already gone. And it's a real tough spot for Michigan, the university, and the football team to be in at this point, because transfer portal opens up soon. National signing day is in February. You need to hit the recruiting trail with a new coach, because some people commit because of a coach, because of the fit that they have with that system within that head coach's
style. That's what James Franklin's doing at Virginia Tech.
Exactly. You commit to a coach because the coach believes in you. That's how college football is.
Players will transfer in there for money reasons and stuff like that.
But players will transfer if a coach leaves. That's why Ole Miss was terrified of the prospect of having Lane Kiffin coach in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
It was the right decision for them. I do think that they did a half measure letting Charlie Weiss Jr. come back, because now Weiss Jr. can bring some of the Ole Miss offense with him, if that's going to be the case. But I think the university knows now, too, though, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. They'll play the CFP and they'll do it. If a player's going to leave with the head coach, they will have done it, especially with the bad PR style that Kiffin did it with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Meet me on the tarmac and all that stuff.
And it just – so if Ole Miss is going to have that transfer happen, it's going to happen. But it was good that they still were like, nope, some of the locker room seems upset at you, or more than some of the locker room seems upset at you. You're not coming back to coach the playoff.
Yeah, I'm so exhausted by the playoff, man. I really am.
It hasn't even started yet.
Everyone just argues over it nonstop. It's now an invitational, pretty much, of just, you know, like, and then they're going to expand it further to 16 at some point. I see that coming. Like, it's going to be an absolute nightmare for the entirety of its existence. It's an excuse for people to just yell at each other at this point. Like, it's lost all its luster for me.
You're trying
to be the NFL. I get it. Like, it's similar to an NFL-style playoff, but that's not the direction I thought you should go, because you were already different enough where it was interesting. Now it's just going to be, like I said, an invitational rather than anything.
I think that it could have been done better is the way I'd say it. I do like the idea of a college football playoff, but I also thought it would be 8 teams get in and that's it. We're not yelling about teams 12, 13, 14, or having an absolute hissy fit like Notre Dame has been. And I do think that with the 10 teams that have rejected bowl games altogether, college football has some work to do. They need to fix their postseason. Because bowl games, I love when Jeremy said this, bowl games used to be magical. You absolutely are tuned in through bowl season. And there still is enough to love about bowl season. Last year, we're loving the fact that UB is going to the Bahama Bowl. Bowl season still has its charm. The Pop-Tarts Bowl that Notre Dame rejected and is too good for has to be one of the most fun gimmicks that there is. People will point out the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which I think mayo is disgusting. Dousing a coach in it after a win is abhorrent to me. But people know it. People remember it. I brought it up off the top of my head. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Played at Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen gets that one last look of tape there, and people are like, that's a first rounder.
Bowl season does matter.
Bowl season does matter.
For the players' sake, specifically.
For the players' sakes, and I know that there are players that skip out on bowl games, but that is because they are a for-sure NFL prospect. Entire teams do not skip out on these things because there's an opportunity for tape for those players. That's why I really don't like the idea. Like, even with all of them, I did an entire show with this back on Monday. I don't know how many of those 10 teams it was fully agreed upon by the players in the locker room that they would not play a bowl game. I think that's the schools making decisions without everybody involved. And Notre Dame in particular, because the AD is just saying this, that, and the other, blaming the ACC when really they should be going after the SEC. Because Alabama probably should be the team that was removed. I still like the idea of the college football playoff. And I can't wait for Zach to be back so that we can talk more at length about this, because Zach is our college guy. He's our college sports guru. But everything that has happened within the last month of college football, the coaching carousel that has happened, they need to create a new timeline for that. The bowl season with 10 teams rejecting bowl games, the mess that is Notre Dame stamping their feet about not being in the college football playoff. And I'm pretty sure
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Joe, here's the cherry on top for you on that one. Give me a second. It's got a, okay. According to Dan Wolkin, with Yahoo Sports, after learning of Notre Dame's memorandum of understanding that grants the Irish preferential playoff access starting next year, athletic directors in other leagues are threatening to freeze Notre Dame out of their future schedules.
Yeah, see, that's
preferential playoff access?
That's where you lose me.
Who do you think you are, Notre Dame?
Yeah. I don't know. It's... This is why I just can't get behind any
now
of it. I struggle.
I held back on saying it like this. Now it's toddler work. I stopped short of that earlier this week. Nope. Now it's toddler work. The Irish are turning into, like, this is a joke. We'll take a timeout. Wrap things up here for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show this week. But don't forget that Tailgate Trivia is back. It is presented by Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merchandise. It's courtesy of TSE Buffalo. Got a couple minutes left here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. The Buffalo Sabres play hockey tonight. That's something you can watch on your television, if you so choose, instead of Tampa Bay, Atlanta.
If you choose.
If you so choose.
That's the big if.
Hey, you know, I'm all about the freedom of choice. You can choose to watch Tampa Bay and Atlanta. That has no real emotional scale for you. Or you
could, though. That's a good playoff race unfolding there.
Well, yeah, for one of those teams.
Yeah. But
Atlanta's not.
It's a must win for the Bucks.
And you just wanted to say that?
No.
Could it be a must win for the Sabres? I'll stop. Anyway, the Sabres won their first game of the six-game road trip a couple nights ago in Edmonton, but they have kept a bad streak up, which is they have not won a regulation win on the road since April 1st of 2025. Not great. But hey, stop me if you've heard this before. They play the worst team in the National Hockey League tonight. All right, we're going to get out of here before Joe has too much fun with the sound effects boards. But that'll do it for me this week. Sal is in tomorrow to talk with head coach Sean McDermott. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Have a great week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.